Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining Hashtag No Limits. I am your host, Shelley Kino, and Hashtag No Limits is about people who society places limits upon but who have busted through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are but not who we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better example of that than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. For those who don't know, the caterpillar literally dissolves into cells and then reforms as the butterfly. And if that's not difficult enough, it then has to struggle in order for its wings to be able to fly once it gets out of the cocoon. I can't imagine that any of that is easy, but then neither is busting through the limits that society places upon a person. And I am happy to bring Dark Joseph Ravine to you today. And I got to tell you, we have had some technical difficulties. For anyone who is normally watching me, you'll probably notice a little bit of a difference, and maybe not, but I'm on a different device today, and we're dealing with my data off of my phone because my internet is out. So hopefully this holds the whole time and all works well. Joseph, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me, Shelley.
Yeah, so I'm really interested to hear your story. I do need to do just a couple more businessy things. If you are watching, please let us know, hashtag live in the comments. If you're watching in the replay, let us know, hashtag replay. If you have any questions or comments, please put them in the chat. If you're watching live, I'll be able to pull them up right away for Joseph to answer or to receive. If you are watching in the replay, I'll make sure that he gets them after this is completed. So thank you all again for joining us. So tell me, Joseph, I introduced you as Dark Joseph Ravine. So what does that stem from? Tell us a little bit about your background.
So my name, Dark Joseph Ravine, is actually, it's like poetic. It's like my movement. You know, I'm all about promoting positivity and kindness and helping people. So my name is significant to fighting against dark. You know, dark poetically means negative, bad, evil. And so my job is to fight against dark by putting light, by putting kindness in the world. If you ever learned in English language and literature that certain words are theoretical for what they mean, like, for example, in poetry, you would hear kids reach the end of the sidewalk, meaning they're hitting puberty or adolescence or another stage in their life, theoretically. And so my name is Dark Joseph Ravine, the same way like that.
Oh, awesome. Okay. So I absolutely love that you are trying to put positivity out, but you are putting positivity out into the world. And I don't think that we can ever have too much positivity. Do you think we could have too much positivity?
I actually think everything has its limits, even positivity, because, you know, I think there are some people who don't want positivity, you know, some people that are sad and miserable. So I still think that positivity has to have its limits, just like kindness, just like everything else. You know, there can never be too much of anything, because when you go overboard with anything, then there's problems. You know, like, for example, you wouldn't just go trying to help someone that doesn't want the help and then keep doing it again and again, and then they could report you for harassment, right?
Right. That's a good point. Yeah, that's an excellent point. And I appreciate that. I mean, the name of this show is called Hashtag No Limits. But yes, there, in my view of that, it's, you know, in our own minds, we shouldn't place limits on a person's potential. And that's where that comes from. So tell me, why is this your passion? Why is this your mission? What was your life like growing up?
So I'm glad you're asking me that. I understand also that, you know, you're about an IEP coach and you deal with children mm-hmm. as well. And so when I was a child, I suffered a lot of discrimination and racism and abuse from educators that really did not understand me well. And as a direct result, I was very unhappy throughout my stage of growing up. And as a result of that, I would never want any other child to face the same things I faced. So I'm all about trying to help children become better, become happier, grow up to be happy, so that when they grow up to be happier as adults, they'll pass that to the next generation. And then that way we'll make the world so much better. You know that in order to make the world a better place, it has to start with the children because they're our future. And then when those people grow up to be happy, then it leads on. And that's how we build.
Right. Absolutely. I 100% agree with that as well. I don't know. You don't look like you're old enough to remember a song by Whitney Houston in which one of the very first lines says, "I believe that children are our future. Treat them well and let them lead the way." And I believe that. I've believed that since I was a teenager and once I became a teacher, that absolutely we have to teach because they truly are literally and figuratively the next generation, our future's leaders. And I love that you want to teach them to be positive and have positive experiences. I don't love why you're doing it because you didn't have that experience growing up and you don't want someone else to feel that. And as a teacher, I am sorry. I think that's awful that you were treated bad. And I apologize to you and I ask you that you forgive all teachers because we're not all that way.
Yes, no, 100%. I forgive everybody. I'm not very grudgeful of people. I mean, I might get mad about things here and there personally, but you know, I'm still always able to forgive and forget and love people, even if they've wronged me. And I try to look deep in my heart how I can always make situations better. And one thing, I'm glad you're bringing this up, because one thing I always talk about, especially to teachers and educators, is always to understand the background story of every student and every child. Because sometimes, you know, some people's bad behavior is not personal. What if they're going through something really, really bad that you're not aware of? You know, sometimes when we just understand those background stories, maybe we can find out how to help them, how to undo the sadness and make them become a whole new happy person again. You know why I always talk about, you know, understanding a background story and where somebody comes from and things like that. Like, for example, you know, when I was a child, I went to a place where they were having a party and there were a lot of adults there. And they said to me, "Get away. Nobody wants you here. Leave." And they were just rude about it. But as I grew older and I came back to the same place 20 years later as an adult, I realized, you know, they invest money to make it happen. And it's not fair when people come and they take advantage. And then when I became they wanted me to volunteer for them and I did. And then when I had to tell the kids away, instead of being rude the way they were rude to me, I tell them, like, "Listen to me, I want you to understand that, you know, they invest a lot of money to make this event happen. And do you really think it's fair when people come and they take advantage and then we can't do our jobs and we're impacted and then it's not a good thing?" So you see how even if I turn someone away, I talk about that background story. And at the same time, that person is nicer and I turn them away, but I'm nice about it. That wasn't the case in my situation growing up. So this is why I always urge, like, all educators to really understand background stories and really tell people about the consequences of certain things being the case and, you know, understanding certain things aren't personal and how we can promote that more into the world, the background stories.
Yeah, that is beautiful. And that is something that I teach on frequently to educators, is that behavior is communication and that behavior is not personal to the person receiving the behavior, but it is to the person exhibiting the behavior, and for reasons exactly like you just mentioned. And something that I always tell teachers too is to have that relationship. So relationship to me is the key to understanding and getting more of the behaviors that each of the educators or even society in general wants. Because the more attention you pay to a behavior, the more of that behavior you're going to see. And when we as educators hear that, though, sometimes we just, "I don't have time to have a relationship with all 200 of my students or all 30 of my students or even all 10 of my students." And I tell them that it's not that you have the same level of relationship that you would with your own child or your spouse or your parents or your friends, but that relationship of knowing something about your students, each of them individually, like you said, what is their backstory? We all have backstories. And so knowing that, okay, you know, this child comes from you know, a very well-to-do family, and this child comes from a middle-class family, and this child comes from an abusive home, or this child comes from, you know, a home where they don't have food. You know, I mean, there's just a myriad more reasons. You know, this child has a need for special education services, and so maybe they don't understand social cues, or they don't understand some of the language, or they don't have this processing speed. And so there's so many things.
And that's why I want you to know that, you know, a little understanding towards these kids can really, really make a huge difference. Like, I want to tell you, there's been instances where kids have been very negative and rude and mean to me because they were misunderstood by their teachers and educators. And then when I had a talk with them about understanding them and knowing where they were coming from, you know, I always put that, you know, I tell them, listen, you're amazing. You're wonderful. You're great. Don't ever let anyone bring you down. I believe in you. I know you can do it. You're great. And you know what? That negative person turned positive. And, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to sound like self-promotional here, but I became very popular amongst children doing things like that and being understanding of them because, you know, sometimes people really just want to be understood, you know, and even I wasn't understood growing up. They like, first of all, I'm never going to blame a child for their bad behavior because kids are kids and kids don't know better. But when it comes to teachers and educators supporting children, they see someone being bullied and they support the kids bullying the kid. As a professional, I'm like, you should know better than to do that because you're an adult, if you know what I'm saying. And so that was the backstory behind me growing up is these educators, instead of trying to find out what's the problem, what's wrong, how can we resolve this, they just made the situation worse by yelling and screaming and abusing. And, you know, lucky for them that, you know, I rose above of all this negativity. But God forbid, if it was somebody else, who knows what they could have turned into? They could have been a criminal. They could have been a harmful person. They could have been someone filled with destruction. You never know. So, you know, right. I'm very blessed to have risen above all this. And I want to help those children know to be understood, to be happy, to feel like someone believes in them, you know, to pump them up, you know?
Right. A question that I have never figured out a right answer to is how do we stop bullying?
I'm very happy that you're asking me that. One very good way in my experience to stop bullying is to always find out a bully's backstory, like what happened in their life to trigger them to turn into a bully. If we find out what happened in the first place that triggered them to become a bully, and we try to undo that, I think that's a very good way to stop bullying. Because sometimes, you know, I'm not trying to sound, you know, crazy by my opinions here, but I think that some teachers think they're just in this to do a job, but they don't have the passion of loving to deal with kids or the passion of loving to teach kids. And sometimes they think, I'm older than you, you better respect me in this. And that's completely wrong. You can't expect anybody to treat you differently. You can't expect anyone to give you anything. You know, whatever you do has to be your passion and something you love. And also to let nature run its course, meaning if you just do something for the passion of loving it and doing it because you want to make a difference and you care for people, then the love will eventually come to you. And that's how, you know, teachers can be understanding of that, as well as educators, and how we can prevent bullying and how we can prevent all kinds of negative things. It has to start with somebody leading the way. One person gets understood, another person gets understood. The more people that keep getting understood, that's how we'll get it bigger and bigger. And that's how I believe it'll eventually stop the bullying.
What would you suggest to an educator? And I'll be honest, this was a problem that I found myself in frequently. Mm-hmm. If a child comes and says, well, I was bullied by Shelley. And I say, okay, well, what do you mean? Tell me, you know, what happened? Well, Shelly told me that, you know, I'm ugly and I, you know, nobody thinks that I'm worth anything, and some other things. And so I go to the others and I say, well, okay, I've been told that this happened. Tell me your version of what you think happened. And that person completely denies that they said anything. There were no witnesses. So it's It's one person against the other. Mm-hmm. What do I do? What's the best approach?
I'm glad that you're asking me that, because I always think in my mind, how did something start in the first place? Like when I was younger, what happened was, you know, I used to get picked on and mistreated. And when I used to tell on people who were mistreating me, nothing ever happened to them. But if I would mistreat someone else, I'd get in trouble. And I realized that the reason being was because I approached them, they didn't approach me. You know, if you approach somebody and it backfires on you, then that's your fault. That's not their fault. You know, you chose to voluntarily do something, and that's what the consequences you face. But if you voluntarily choose to abuse, then that's, you know, your fault, and then you get punished for that. And so I would always want to find out who started it in the first place. Did Shelly come up to the student, or did the student come up to Shelly? Now, if Shelly came up to the student to abuse first, and the student just did nothing to trigger it, then I would tell Shelly, you know, that's not acceptable behavior. How would you like if somebody did that to you? Would you like to be mistreated? You know, I'm very big with, you know, treat people the way you want to be treated, and, you know, understand, you know, the situation behind what can happen if you're a bully and what can happen if you're negative. And I always try to teach people the consequences of what can happen. I have more like this tougher approach to children of, you know, like the free range parenting systems where they say, you know, you need to decide if you like how it feels when you're good or how you like when it feels when you're bad. And you need to suffer consequences on your own in order to develop what's best for you. Because I always think you can never force anybody, not even a child, to do anything against their will. Never can you do that. Everybody has to naturally decide to do things. So my kind of approach would be to kind of give a child, and even an adult too, the freedom to kind of experience for themselves and see what's best for them. Because in my experience personally, I was addicted to video games when I was about 8. And what happened was my mother bought me this brand new game, and I really wanted to play it. So I would pretend that I was sick for a whole week just to come home to play it. And then what would happen was the next week I saw how much I was falling behind in school, and everybody was getting prizes and were ahead, and I was still at 0. And when I experienced how much I hated that feeling, from that day forward, I chose never to miss school again. So you see how my mother didn't force me to come to school, and I kind of naturally decided that on my own. So I believe mm-hmm. that everything has to be decided upon naturally. And so I think that if we work towards trying to make things more natural when it comes to what happened in the situation first and how could things be prevented in the future, you know, then we should kind of understand it. Like if a kid approached somebody and it backfired on them, I would tell them, you have to understand if you voluntarily choose to do something and it backfires on you, that's not anyone's fault but yours. You know, you can avoid all these people by simply not engaging with them whatsoever. And then you should find people who really care about you and love you and are there to support you, not people who are not supportive of you. And then when you find your own way in your own life, that's how you'll find your happiness. So that's how I would deal with all situations when it comes to children and people in the life.
Okay, thank you. So you said that not only were you bullied by students, but you also felt that you were bullied by teachers.
Yes, absolutely.
So can you give some examples of both how you felt you were bullied by students and then how you felt that you were bullied by teachers? And the reason I ask this, and if this is too personal, please don't share if you don't want to, but the reason I'm asking is because I often think that people, I mentioned in my example, words, you know, this person said this, mm-hmm. but I think a lot of times people associate bullying with just physical stuff. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling that your stories are not just all physical.
Oh, yeah.
Any of them are, actually. Mm-hmm.
So what happened with the school that I went to personally was, you know, there were students that were hurting my feelings and leaving me out. Like they would have parties and they'd leave me out. And then the teacher who tried talking to me, instead of trying to tell me the backstory, she said, because you're like this and you're like this, and she was kind of racist, and they're not like this and you're like this, you can't be invited to this party, and they have no right to be nice to you, and they can abuse you because you're like this and you're mental and you're you know, even I was called the R word by students. And there was a couple of teachers who also called me the R word and supported those students who did that. So to me, like, that is super unprofessional. Like, when you're a teacher, you know, it's your job that you're getting paid for. You can't speak that way to a student. That's just completely inappropriate on the teacher's end. And so, you know, I always think that, let's say if a student wasn't invited to a party and let's say everybody was, you know, I wouldn't tell them because they're cool and you're a loser. That's disgusting. That can kill someone if you speak that way. I would tell that person, like me, as if I was in the school systems, I would say, listen, I understand you're not happy about not being invited to this party, but you do have to understand that they invest money into their party and everybody has a right to do whatever they want with their money. And we can't really tell people, you know, what to do with their invested money. You know, every time someone has a party or something, they invest money into it. So it is important to understand that, you know, we can't tell people what to do with their hard-earned money. But I do believe if you search far and wide, maybe you'll find friends that love you and care about you, and you'll be invited to other parties that people might be interested in you. So you see how I would still say, you know, something a little bit hard to hear, which is you can't tell people what to do with their private property because everybody has the right to pick, choose, and refuse. But I would fill them with hope that there's plenty more fish in the sea. Search far and wide. I'm sure you'll find someone who loves you. You know, I would always encourage somebody to know, you know, when somebody rejects you, they're not for you. You shouldn't do that, because why would you want to hang around people that don't like you and treat you miserably and then want them to make you even more miserable? Find people that care about you. Find people that love you, you know? So you see how I would still fill someone with the ray of hope that they could find someone instead of an educator saying you're a loser and they're cool and you suck and this and that. Like, you know, even for me, what happened was there was even a student who hosted an end of the year graduation party and everybody but me was invited. And as a direct result, I invited myself. I mean, I was only 13, 14 because of how hurt I was. I mean, today I would never do that. I would say, get away from me. I don't need to be around nasty people like that. And the worst part of this party was the school allowed it. You know, to me, I'm never going to blame a kid because a kid doesn't know better. But for a school who should be professional to allow such an awful thing like that to me is just so not acceptable. Invite everyone and leave one kid out. I mean, if the kid was dangerous and causing damage and hurting people, I understand. But, you know, in my situation, you know, it was just hard. I was upset all the time because of how much I was left out. So I do think that this is something that has to be worked on in the schools to make sure there's fairness, to make sure there's understanding, to make sure that what educators do, they don't harm other people. And the good news, let me tell you, the school closed down. They lost the school due to their bad behavior. And, you know, that's what happens. What goes around comes around. We got to be good to people if we want to continue to succeed. That's why I believe in kindness for success. You're good to people, you know, you get higher and higher. You're bad to people, you demote, and eventually you lose. That's the reality.
Right.
That's my see things.
Yeah. So that's a very eye-opening story. So I'm in the United States, and I believe you told me that you're in Canada, correct?
That's right.
And the school that you went to was in Canada?
Yes.
So I'm guessing it was some sort of a private school that you said it closed. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And this party was actually on school grounds and
it was at a different place, but the school allowed it.
Okay. So then my other question becomes towards the parents of this person who did the inviting. Mm-hmm. You've mentioned several times you hold the educators responsible and you're not going to hold the kids responsible, but what about the parents? Do you hold the parents responsible?
Absolutely. Because, you know, a parent is already a grown adult. And to me, they should know better than to allow abuse, to allow negativity. And the fact that they let their kid do something like this is just beyond evil. I understand we never tell people what to do with invested money. But, you know, when it comes to doing something as a way to harm someone else and for adults to tolerate somebody doing something nasty, like, that to me is a huge no-no. Like, to me, I can't understand why adults who should already, who've lived their life, who should know better, why would you allow something like this? Why on earth would you allow a kid to suffer? Why would you let a kid get abused and bullied? You're an adult. You should know better. You know, a kid, I never blame a kid, like mentioned before. They don't know better. They're still young. You know, they have yet to grow and develop and become better. But an adult, you should know better.
So okay, because we've mentioned that behavior is communication. Mm-hmm. And behavior is personal to the person exhibiting the behavior. I just want you to think about this. And if you give an answer, that's wonderful. If not, that's okay too. Mm-hmm. What behavior, what communication do you think was coming from the behavior of allowing the child not to invite you? What do you think the parent's backstory would be?
I think what happened was, because I was very different from a lot of the kids, you know, as you mentioned, you work with people with IEP, so I had special needs. And I think that because I was a little different from them, like I was a little hard to deal with in certain situations, but, you know, I was always a giver, and I was always trying to compromise and hang out with them and, you know, kind of be a good person here and there. And, you know, I was just suffering a very bad period of my life where, you know, I couldn't really talk to anybody. And I felt like at the time everybody was against me and I had no way of really, you know, telling people my feelings and everything. But I mean, there were times even before this incident where somebody was nice to me and I behaved better. So because that one person was nice and I behaved better, the negativity wasn't affecting me as much. But because the majority were nasty and rude, that's why I was hard to deal with and I was impacted. I don't deny my behavior either of being bad and negative here and there as a child. Every child is like that. But when it comes to an adult treating you nicely, you know, that can make such a big difference compared to the people that don't treat you nicely and cause problems and trigger issues. You know, I'm thinking one bad person and then a million bad people triggers bad behavior in a kid. And so I think that this is something that we have to look at and we have to be careful of because, you know, God forbid, you never know what a kid can turn into as an adult if you're not careful how you treat them. You know, I'm very lucky. Like, I feel lucky that I rised above all this, you know?
Right. Well, and exactly what you just said, if people aren't good to children as they're growing up, they could become bad people, or they, not necessarily that all of their life is bad, but that they have traits or things that are not good because of how they were treated. And that's why I wanted you to think about the backstory of those parents. You know, that's a horrible thing to do to a 13-year-old or a 14-year-old, is that everyone else in the class is invited and you're not. And so I'm not by any means excusing the behavior of these parents, but I'm trying to figure out, as I have worked with families over the years now, that, and a lot of the families and the kids have been left out of events. And I have figured out that a lot of the parents that leave out children, it's because the parents are scared that they are not going to know how to handle. So if you had some rough behaviors at that time period in your life, mm-hmm. those parents, I have no idea, obviously, might have been thinking, well, if that kid comes and causes a problem, I'm not going to know how to handle it. Or if that kid comes, say it's not you and it's a different child that has different needs than the child that the parents are raising, I don't know if I'll know what to do. And so a lot of mistreatment mm-hmm. is unintentional, and it comes from a place of fear.
Yeah, it does. It does come from a place of fear. And, you know, at the end of the day, I do understand where some of these parents come from, where they say, I don't want to invite this person because if I do, something will happen, or, you know, things like that. Or, you know, I definitely get where many people are coming from. But, you know, when it comes to an end of the year party, you know, especially hosted by a school, you know, when it comes to a school, you know, and a school is supposed to do their jobs professionally and manage things professionally, for them to allow certain things is what makes it wrong. What you do outside the school 100% your business. You can have a party, invite everyone, and leave a person out. 100% your business. But when it comes to professional appropriate, that to me is not professional appropriate. The same way these educators allowed the bullying and joined in the bullying. To me, it's about professional appropriate. Is this professional appropriate or not? If it's not, we don't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I, several years ago, was exactly where you are and getting upset. And if somebody were to say the things that I've said, I would have no tolerance. But what I have learned is that even educators, I don't know about how Canadian educators are, what kind of experiences they have before they become educators. But here in the United States, a general education teacher gets very, very little instruction on how to work with kids who have different educational needs. And it's, you know, it's not right, because we then expect them, we have a higher standard, as we should.
Yeah,
and yet we haven't given them the training that most of them need to get to that standard.
Yeah, for sure.
And so we are unfairly treating them. And unfortunately, that comes down to unfairly treating children in a lot of cases. And absolutely, I'm with you 100% that I hate it that our children are the ones who suffer the consequences of adult actions.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what I discussed about, and why I've been so passionate about trying to make sure the youth is happy and that the children are good and they're understood. Because like I said, of course, we're not going to please every child, but if we're good, I believe we could please 95, 96%. You know, we can't make everybody happy, but, you know, we could probably make most if we just have a little understanding. Like, you know how I mentioned that maybe I was hard to deal with at the time, but there was one person very, very nice to me that was easier to deal with. And because she was nice, I behaved better. So I'm just saying, if there had been more of that, maybe I could have behaved better. You know, so that's kind of where I come from when I say, you know I was bad, but it could have been better if this was the case. And so that's why I'm saying, you know, when somebody's very negative, especially a child, you know, when you just show a little understanding and a little care and a little love to them, and encouragement, and you boost them up, you know, you could make a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the schools in Canada, is it like here in the US where we kind of, I'd say, do it backwards? We spend a lot of time trying to teach the neurodiverse person how to be neurotypical and how to get along in a neurotypical world. But we rarely ever talk to the neurotypicals about how to interact with and how to be friends with a neurodivergent person. Is that the same in Canada?
I think in Canada, there's more diversity and more like people from different backgrounds. So they try to help people in all cases. But I don't know. I mean, you know, I think every school is different and every school has their standards and how they run. And, you know, sometimes there's good schools and there's bad schools. And I just think that I just happen to have been the victim of a bad school growing up. And, you know, I just don't think that, you know, there's anything I can say other than, you know, I feel like every school is different and has their own expectations and how they run things. And, you know, but I always like to stay positive and think of the future and think the negativity is out of my life. And now I'm in a happy stage of my life. So let me share it with the future generation and the rest of the world. Because if I can make a difference, that looks good on me and I become a hero. You know?
Right. Exactly. So speaking of being a hero, tell me about your book.
Yeah. So my book, Watch Out, It's Nolan, which recently won an award, is very similar to the story of my life, where what happens is there's this boy that's not happy and doesn't want to go to school. And he makes his parents angry. His classmates bully him. The teachers are often angry with him. And so what happens is every time they bully him, the teacher, the students, and the parents, every time they bully, there's this green whiz that makes something bad happen to everybody that wrongs him. And then they suddenly decide that, okay, we're getting too many bad things happening. We're going to stop. And then Nolan stands up for himself and says, I'm not happy because this is happening and this is happening and this is happening. And because this is happening, you know, that's why I've been behaving this way. And that's how, you know, after they all decided to be kinder to him and he lived a better life, that's when he started getting along with his parents and got along with the classmates. And, you know, the teacher started being better and he was first in class the next day. So this whole book is really to teach people about, you know, for kids to learn about self-worth and to love themselves, to stand up to bullying, and to also learn to make the wrong right and to kind of, you know, show the world who you really are as a child. And to know, also for educators to know that a little understanding goes a long way. You see how they understood Nolan from why he was behaving bad, why was he triggering in the first place? Because he was being abused. And that's why, because they understood and they decided to make changes, he became a better person. And so that's kind of what I'm passionate about teaching to people. My book also won an award as well. So I feel like that.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
I saw in the bio that you've won several awards for this book, correct?
Yeah. It was a 5-time award winning book.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. So that's how I pass along the statement of being understood. Because I was misunderstood. So, you know, I want people to be understood. That's the whole goal of this book and all the projects I do to help people be understood.
Right. That's awesome. That's my book has a message in it as well. And so I'm always excited to hear about other books that have messages behind them. So I'm putting up your website right now. Is this where someone would go if they wanted to purchase your book?
Yeah, they could go there as well. And they can also go on Amazon. Amazon's probably the best place to go because there's like a whole like editorial reviews and they can decide from based on the reviews if this might be something of interest to them. You know, they can get their book as well.
Awesome. Now, if they ordered it from you, do they get an autographed copy of it?
Oh, no. The autograph, they have to meet me in person and I have to sign it there. But yeah, I always give everybody my autograph. Let everybody feel good. And, you know, I always like to write something positive so that people will have a positive message for the rest of their life.
Right. That's awesome. So I do want to read out your website for those who are just listening. It is www.darkjosephravine.com. And I will make sure to include that in the show notes once this is an actual podcast. And it is on the screen here for those of you who are watching with us live. So it's Watch Out, It's Nolan. And then all the awards that's won. So if they're going to get your signature, they have to meet you in person. So do you do book signings around Toronto area or how do they get to see you in person to get that signature?
Well, I have a TV show called The Dark Joseph Ravine Show where I'm starting to interview like people like on live TV. And so if they visit Toronto, they can come swing by the show. And, you know, if they want to watch the show, then I can definitely give them the autograph there. They can also apply to be a guest on my show on my site. They'll find out about the Dark Joseph Ravine Show. I'm all about doing multiple projects and not just one thing specifically, because I'm really passionate about helping people be understood with this mission, because I feel like this is the one thing we need to make the world better, to be understood.
Right. It's such a huge task, but such a simple concept. Mm-hmm. Do you find that to be the case?
Yeah, no, it is a simple concept because, you know, I always say a little understanding can come a very long way and can make a huge difference. And I always say, why not? You know, one little, like that woman who was nice to me when I was a child was nice. And she almost made me a happier person, but the negativity with the others came back. And that's why I turned back to the negative person I was, you know? So I always say, you know, one small understanding can change everything.
Right. So do you do speaking engagements as well as, or personal speaking engagements?
I do some motivational speaking on and off here and there. I may start doing it on my TV show soon. And I might try to help people understand about self-worth and loving themselves and, you know, just for people to understand certain things. And, you know, I'm definitely into doing anything that's dedicated to helping people, you know?
Right. So I'm going to pop up your book just so people can see it. I do have it pulled up on Amazon. And so, yeah, just so they can kind of see what the cover is. So if they go out and search for it, they definitely know that they have the right place. And then, so I'm going to pull up your website, hopefully. Just give me 1 second to switch over. Just so that people know, you know, that they, again, are looking at the right place. And then if there's anything you want to tell me specifically about the website, anywhere that you would like me to go, or any information that might be helpful. So I know you talked about your television show. So that's right here, correct? The Dark Joseph Ravine Show?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And then, okay, we haven't talked about this. So let's talk really quickly about your Guinness records while I kind of show off your website.
Yeah, so my Guinness World Record, was back in the day around 2017. And I used to go to the arcade, and I used to love playing arcades and winning tickets. If you've ever heard of Dave & Buster's, they sponsored my Guinness event. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, at first we tried doing a serpentine line in the parking lot, which didn't work well. It was blowing off with the wind. And then so we, on our second event, we decided to do it in a sports arena. And we did it perfectly the second time, and they liked it, and we got the award. We got the record.
So you had 5 million tickets.
I had 5 million Dave & Buster's tickets, and we used 360,000 tickets, paper tickets that Dave & Buster's sponsored to do the event. And it not only changed my life, it also changed their life too.
So how did it change your life?
Well, it kind of opened opportunities for me and doors for me to, like, I start in a movie, you know, people ask me to come with them to Dave & Buster's to play games for them, you know. Those are just press coverage about me and why I'm all about doing everything that I'm doing that were written by people who really have a genuine interest in me. Yeah, I try to put all the media... So that my whole site is really for people to get to know who I am and what I'm all about and, you know, the things I care most about, where I've been featured, where I've been seen, you know. Mm-hmm. Kindness for Success is all about, it's my merch that has positive images and things on it.
And then so we have... Is there more to Kindness for Success other than merch? Like, do you
have a
company that you do?
Yeah. We have a news section where we put blogs, where we put quotes, where we put anything only pertaining to positivity only. So when we share news, it's good news to help people. Like, let's say somebody did a good deed or somebody's making positive changes. Somebody is helping people, you know. So, yeah, people can submit an article to our team, and we usually review it, and we decide yes or no.
Okay. And I don't know, did that jump with me to the... Yeah, it did. Okay. I never know exactly whenever I share my screen if I've hit the right buttons that it's going to move with me within a website or not. So getting kids to care about self-care, do people's opinions
really
matter?
I always think that it's important too.
So let's briefly discuss this. People's opinions, because we have talked about words and how, you know, sometimes words are more of a bullying tactic. So that's somebody's opinion is their words. So talk about that a little bit and then give an example really quickly of what suggestions you would give to, say, you know, a student that was in a similar situation to the one that you had growing up. What advice would you give to that?
Yeah, so what I would personally say to that person is that, you know, you need to understand that people's opinions are just what they believe and what they think, and it has nothing to do with you. And if they think anything negative, it's them coming out of their own sadness. It has nothing to do with you or anything. And, you know, you should know how powerful you are and how great you are, and understand not everybody will accept you, but you should look in the mirror and love yourself and know how amazing you are. And if you search far and wide, I'm sure you'll find people that'll support what you do and love you the way you are. And, you know, You should be proud of who you are. Like for me, I don't care about opinions of people. I'm thick-skinned not to care about what people think of me. I mean, I get hurt here and there from certain things that happen, but I work hard to be thick-skinned to not care as much about, you know, I get hate mail on my Twitter and all my social media, but I just ignore it, you know. Because when you love yourself, you have pride in who you are. You know, you don't let negativity get to you.
So how do you become a person who loves themselves? Because I think this is a problem with a lot of people around the world. And it doesn't matter what age they are.
Yeah. So the reality is that in order to love yourself, you have to see what you're good at and what you care most about. And also to do your own thing. So don't follow trends. Don't follow people. Don't be a follower. Try to be a leader. So start something and let people support what you're doing from that. Like I started Kindness for Success and I started treating people nicely and doing something different. You know, I got people that hated me for doing that, but I got a lot of people loving me for doing that. So I think that once you start to not care about who loves you and who hates you and things like that, and you just do your own thing because it makes you happy to do, and you don't pay attention to people, eventually people will start to love you and support what you're doing. And then eventually that can lead to you loving yourself. And like I say, if you really love what you do and you love yourself very much, you don't let anyone get to you, you know? And yeah, that's so and important as well, to find yourself.
Yeah, and I work with a mental health organization. And so this is very near and dear to my heart on top of the special education stuff that I do. And I see this a lot is that, you know, younger people, but also, as I mentioned, adults, we really do live off of what other people think about us. And so I'm just curious, you know, I know how I stopped worrying about other people's words. But I'm curious, you know, how someone else does it. So how did you, you know, because you keep saying, well, you just have to get thick skin. Well, how do you just get thick skin? How did that develop in you?
Well, I definitely think it's definitely not an overnight process. It's something that really takes a long time to develop on. I think everything is not an overnight process. Everything takes time to work on, to develop on. The same way, like, you know, popularity and fame and business and stuff like that. You know, I think that you have to first think in your mind, is this really important? Does this person's opinion really matter? Is this the way these people are treating me? Does it really, really matter in my life? Is it important to me so much? You know, do I care about it? So you have to question yourself. Is this really important or not? If it's not important, throw it away. If it is important, keep it. And then kind of have the time to think it through. And then once people know they can't get to you, and my sister taught me a very big secret. The more people know that something gets to you, the more they do it. And the more people know they can't get to you, they eventually get bored and stop. Like there was a time where, you know, some celebrities hated paparazzis bothering them. And because they were nasty to them all the time, they kept bothering them over and over and over and wouldn't leave them alone. But I think there was this one celebrity, I'm not sure who it was. She was very nice to the paparazzi and she was kind and caring for them and doing nice things. And then eventually they left her alone. And now she has freedom to just do whatever she wants. And she barely gets mobbed these days, I think. And so I always say that the more you don't care about something, the better it will be. And so that's kind of how I learned from like famous people who've gone out to be very, very successful, who've lived good lives, who have done well in their life. And that's kind of what I learned from. You know, they have thick skin because of the things they do. And so everybody who's successful like that, I'm just inspired and I try to be the exact same way. And it works very, very well. It's changed my life and worked for me. Why wouldn't it work for other people?
Right. Yeah. Good approach. And yeah, I think it is very important to be kind. And as we said before, you know, the more you pay attention to a behavior, the more you're going to see of that behavior. So if you pay attention to the behaviors that you want good behaviors, you want positivity, then the more of those kinds of things you're going to see. And the more of that you put out, the more of that you're going to see. So absolutely, I completely agree with that. So we're running to the end of our time together, and I want to make sure that you've had opportunity to share what you thought you were going to be able to share today on my show. Have you had that opportunity, or is there more to share?
100%. I've shared everything, and I do hope that, you know, this will help educators understand how kindness and being understanding can make a huge difference. And, you know, to any child that's suffering in the schools these days, you know, remember to be yourself and love yourself and to rise above bullying as much as you can. And don't be afraid to stick up for yourself and to know your self-worth and you're amazing the way you are, and don't change for anyone, and you don't have to please anybody. Love yourself. That's what I'm going to say.
That's great. That's wonderful. Thank you again. So my guest today has been Dark Joseph Ravine, and I very much appreciate your time today. Continue to put that positivity out and to look at all the positives in the world, because there truly are more positives than negatives. It's just we tend to focus on the negatives, and oftentimes we focus on a big negative all at once. You know, we focus on an airplane accident because of how many people are affected by it, but yet every day exponentially more people are flying, and we never talk about that.
Yeah.
So just one example of, you know, you can focus on a negative, but you can also see all kinds of positives as well and focus more on those. So again, Dark Joseph Ravine, thank you so much for being here. Thank you to everyone who is who watched today or who will be listening to this. Join me next time, and we will continue on this journey of hashtag no limits. Bye-bye.